Muddy Waters introduced me to stuff like this.
Hey, y'all. For first-time listeners, welcome. And repeat offenders, welcome back to Dive In Deeper. I know we have talked a little bit about everything on this channel, and we are about to switch it up again. Today, we are going to talk about George Buddy Guy. Buddy is quite a fascinating man and has a very remarkable discovery story, who also seems to be an influence on American music. So let's dive in. Buddy grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and completed middle school but did not graduate high school because his mother had a stroke and Buddy needed to work in the fields to help support the family. Buddy first learned about the guitar from a guitar player who would come and play for the families at the farm every Christmas. Buddy tried to mimic what this man would do on his guitar every year. He started to make his own out of wire and would play until his fingers turned raw. A few years later, he moved in with his sister in Baton Rouge, and every day he would play a little two-string guitar on the corner. Then one day, this man bought him a new guitar with all six strings. This guitar is now on display in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. You may be wondering where Buddy gets his swagger from, to play like the blues king that he is. Well, Buddy's inspiration mainly comes from B.B. King and Guitar Slim. Buddy once saw Guitar Slim play one of his famous albums, Things I Used to Do. And from there, he was hooked. He said, I want to play like B.B. King, but I want to act like Guitar Slim. And that's what he did. Buddy's first gig was a complete flop. He was actually discovered by Guitar Slim, who invited him to sing at a small club. But Buddy was too shy to face the audience and sing. So he ended up being fired that night. Lucky for him, they gave him another chance. But before his second attempt at performing, his friend came by and gave him a bottle of wine. And his friend said, I got some schoolboy scotch, and it will turn you around. And that it did. And since that day, Buddy has been a prominent American influence in the blues industry. You may be asking, how is he an American influence? Can't just say it's because he's from America. Well, it's because he likes to play with authenticity. Every time he goes out on that stage, he plays to make himself happy and at least one person in the audience happy. This is different from how artists play today, because a lot of people end up selling themselves just to make more money. But Buddy doesn't believe in that. But he does believe in doing what makes him happy, and he does that by playing the heck out of that guitar. Buddy is one of the few OG blues boys left alive. Most of the people who mentored him, such as B.B. King and Guitar Slim, have passed away. And Buddy now owns one of the last standing authentic blues clubs in Chicago, called Buddy Guy's Legends. In an interview, Buddy talks about his club and is saying how he is keeping it open not only for himself, but for the great blues players that came before him. He is committed to keeping the blues alive as long as he can. Buddy is hopeful that his family will keep the legend of blues alive even after he passes, if a new generation of blues players don't sprout. On that note, let's take a quick break and hear a few words from our sponsor.
Come visit Buddy Guy's Legends Blues Club at 700 South Wabash in Chicago, Illinois. Open Wednesday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 12 a.m. Upcoming performers include Johnny Rawls, Cashbox Kings, and many more. For more information about our upcoming concerts and events, visit www.buddyguy.com.
Now that we have covered Buddy's life, let's talk about Buddy's music. Buddy was known for his guitar skills, more importantly, his riffs. Buddy is so widely known for his riffs that if you go on YouTube and look up Buddy Guy Riffs, a whole section of his top riffs and tutorials on how to accomplish a Buddy Guy riff appear, which really shows how good these riffs really are. A riff, to those who don't know, is a repeated chord, progression, or refrain in music. Not only did Buddy incorporate riffs in his music, but when he did covers of a song, it's the main change besides his strong vocals. My two favorite songs by Buddy have to be his cover of Ain't No Sunshine and Mary Had a Little Lamb from his 1968 album, A Man in the Blues. I know y'all would love to listen to my voice this whole podcast, but sadly, I have to play some of Buddy's riffs, because this podcast is supposed to be about him. This is a section of Buddy's cover, Ain't No Sunshine, and I want you to listen to his guitar additions. Once Buddy's version of Ain't No Sunshine ends, I'm immediately going to play the original version by Bill Weathers.
Ain't no sunshine when she gone.
Now that you have listened to my guy Buddy's, let's listen to Bill Withers.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
The original song is over a minute shorter than Buddy's version, without a riffed intro, guitar solos, and musical additions. This song would not have been bluesified, and it would not be Buddy's version. Buddy's ability to bluesify a song is quite impressive, don't you think? Another song I enjoyed by Buddy is his version of Mary Had a Little Lamb. Buddy showcases his incredible guitar skills with a 20-second solo in the beginning and then hooks the listener with his strong vocals. Buddy's talent grows as he gets older and gains more confidence in himself. And even though Buddy is still making music, he was more of the 1960s to 1970s type artist. You may be familiar with John Mayer, an American singer-songwriter and guitarist. His most famous songs are Gravity, Free Fallin', and many more. Let's focus on his number one, Gravity, from his 2006 album, Continuum. Similarly to Buddy, he begins his songs with instrumental, more importantly, guitar solos. So let's take a listen. John, similarly to Buddy, begins his songs with a riff, and the mood of the riff will often dictate the mood of the song. In talking about riffs, I think Allen Ginsberg also uses riffs in his poem Howl, obviously not with a guitar, but with his words. When he says, America's naked mind of love into Eli Eli Lama Lama Sabachthina saxophone that shivered the cities down to the last radio, really shows how, even though it may not make sense, it's his true thought. Similarly to how, even though you may not always understand how the rift is working, it's just the emotion and the true thought of the artist. In saying this, Buddy is an exceptional musician whose legacy will hopefully continue for many years after he passes. His skills and dedication to the craft is a beautiful thing to see. I hope you enjoyed listening to my voice and Buddy's fantastic music. So sadly, this is Prout, peacing out. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye, baby. Whatever I don't know.